Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. We are starting out a few minutes early today, and that's all right. We're on together. But I want to thank you for being with me today. I'm so glad that you are here. We are in day three of our series called No Turning Back. On day one, we talked about waking up. And not just physically, but spiritually. And Romans 13 says that it is high time to wake up out of our sleep. And then day two, we talked about understanding the times, not just knowing the headlines, reading about them, not just knowing what people are arguing about in culture, but really discerning the times and knowing what faithfulness looks like right now. So today, I want to take the next step in this journey of these teachings together, because if you wake up and you start to discern the times, eventually there is a reality that you are going to have to face, and that is this, that following Jesus is going to cost you something. Now, don't turn me off yet. I know this is not a popular message, but I believe it is something that is vitally needed in this hour. It's not the kind of thing that gets packaged well in consumer culture, right? We live in a world where everything is marketed around comfort and ease and convenience and getting what we want as quickly as possible. And sometimes if we're not careful, what happens? That mindset creeps into the way people think about Christianity. And yeah, we want Jesus to improve our lives. We want him to bless our plans. We want him to calm our anxiety, to fix all of our problems and open doors, right? And Jesus does all kinds of wonderful things in our lives, absolutely. He saves, he heals, he delivers, he provides, he restores, he gives purpose. Sorry, I haven't finished my coffee yet. But here's what I found about Jesus is Jesus never preached a cost-free Christianity. He never said, follow me and nothing will ever be required of you. No, he said, follow me and you can keep full control of your life. He never said that. He never said, follow me, but only when it's convenient and socially acceptable. No. Jesus was very, very clear. There is a cost to discipleship. There is an absolute cost to obedience, to standing. There is a cost to saying yes to God. There is a cost of saying no to your flesh. And there is a cost to living with no turning back. And that's what I want to lean into today. The thought that war comes with a cost. Now, when I say war, I'm not talking about being angry at people. I'm not talking about fighting in the flesh. I'm not talking about turning Christianity into a culture of outrage, right? I'm talking about the spiritual reality that if you are going to follow Jesus in a dark world, there will be resistance. There's going to be pressure that comes. There's going to be temptation. There will be moments when obedience to God cost you your comfort. There will be moments when faithfulness cost you approval from other people. There's going to be times and moments where standing with Jesus means you cannot go with the crowd. So today I want to go to our main text found in Luke 14, verse 25. And here's what it says. Now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, Going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while there is still a great way off, he sends a delegate to ask conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, I know we've heard this scripture probably before, or parts of it at least, but it is a strong passage. And I noticed something right away. Luke says great multitudes were going with Jesus. That's an interesting fact. Large crowds, momentum, excitement, people gathering, people following. And Jesus turns around and says something that would make a lot of people uncomfortable, because even just hearing that scripture today can make us uncomfortable. He starts talking about cost. And that says something important. Jesus was not interested in crowds that had no commitment. He was not trying to get numbers without disciples. He was not trying to make following Jesus sound easier than it was. But what? He loved people enough to tell them the truth. I'm going to say that again. Jesus loved people enough to tell them the truth. So let's walk through this a little bit. The first thing we need to see is that Jesus never hid the cost. Man, if we could get that as the American church. He did not bait people with blessing and then surprise them later with surrender. He told them up front, if you are going to follow me, I must be first. If you're going to follow me, then you must carry your cross. If you are going to follow me, then you need to count the cost. And that is so different from the way things are often presented today. Sometimes people talk about Jesus like he's an add-on to the life we have already planned, right? Add Jesus to your dreams. Add Jesus to your goals. Add Jesus to your business, or add Jesus to your identity. And we think that Jesus becomes an accessory, but he did not come as an accessory. He came as Lord. And Lord means he has the right to lead. Lord means he has the right to correct us. Lord means he has the right to rearrange priorities. Lord means he has the right to say that stays and that goes. Lord means he gets the final word. We do not. Now, listen, I know that sounds heavy to the flesh, but it is actually freedom. Because anything you refuse to surrender to Jesus will eventually try to rule you. Your reputation will try. Your comfort, your fear will try to rule you. Relationships can rule you. Your desire can rule you. Your need for approval will eventually try to rule you. But Jesus is a better Lord than anything else. He does not lead us into bondage. That's the thing. When you trust him, you realize that he doesn't lead me into bondage. He leads me into life. But he's honest with us. There is a cost. And some people stop following Jesus when the cost becomes clear. And you see this throughout the life of Jesus. They like the miracle. They like the bread. They like the encouragement. They like being around the crowd. But when Jesus starts talking about surrender, they don't like it as much. And they begin to pull back. And it still happens today. People still like Jesus as Savior, but resist him as Lord. They want forgiveness, but not surrender. We want blessing, but not obedience. We want comfort, but not the cross. But friends, Jesus does not offer half-hearted discipleship. He says, come after me. And coming after Jesus means he becomes first. Now, Jesus uses pretty strong language in this passage. He says, if anyone comes after him and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be a disciple. That is shocking to say the least. But listen, Jesus is not teaching us to literally hate our family. I know sometimes we want to take that verse of scripture as a license to say, Jesus gave me permission, I'm cutting y'all off, right? But listen, that would actually contradict the rest of scripture. Why? Because the Bible teaches us to honor our father and mother. Husbands are told to love their wives. Parents are called to care for their children. Believers are called to love their enemies. So Jesus is not telling us to be hateful. He's using strong comparative language. He's saying that our love and loyalty to him must be so supreme that every other loyalty looks secondary by comparison. In other words, Jesus must be first above family, above comfort, above personal ambition, above self-preservation, above the old life, above everything. That does not mean you love people less in a sinful way. Actually, when Jesus is first, you actually learn how to love everything else better and everything else in right order. Why? Because when Jesus is first, you become a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better friend or leader. But no relationship can sit on the throne that belongs to Jesus. That's why we have so many people who are searching for their better half, searching for the one who is, going to fix them and going to be, the answer to their problems. But the problem with that is you're making that person Lord of your life instead of Jesus. And that person does not have the capacity to solve your problems, to fulfill your every desire and need, to, be your joy. Now, God gives us relationships. Relationships have blessing. Relationships, he looked at Adam in the garden when Adam had God and said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. You need a helpmate here. You need people. You need community. Right? But Eve was never meant to take the place of God. Actually, when Adam listened to Eve above the word of God, what happened? It destroyed everything. They were good until Adam elevated Eve and said, well, Eve told me to eat it. Versus God said, hey, don't eat this. It doesn't matter who tells you, the serpent, Eve, a star from the sky, it don't matter. Just don't eat it. That's what God said. So as soon as anything else gets elevated above the lordship of Christ in your life, it is setting you up long-term for disaster, because people and relationships were never meant to carry the lordship factor in your life like only Jesus can. But when Jesus is Lord, what you will actually find is your relationships become better. Your friendships become better. Why? Because now you're only trying to get out of those relationships what they are capable of giving. Right? Like, they're not responsible to keep you happy all the time. And when people disappoint you, because ultimately people will disappoint you, your whole world doesn't come crashing down. Why? Because your foundation isn't built now on those people. Your foundation is built on the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that makes all the difference. So this is where it gets real. Because sometimes the cost of following Jesus is not just giving up bad things. Sometimes the cost is putting good things, great things, God things in the right order. Family's good. Work is needed. It is good. Dreams are good. Plans are good. But none of those things can be Lord. Jesus must be first. So for some, that is where the battle is. Not that they hate Jesus. It's that Jesus is one priority among many. He is important. He's a factor, but he's not first. He's respected, loves scripture, but it's not obeyed. He's included as one of the voices in the conversation, but he's not enthroned as Lord of your life. And Jesus is saying that will not work for discipleship. A disciple is not someone who simply admires Jesus. A disciple follows. A disciple learns. A disciple submits to him. A disciple says, Jesus, you are first. So let me ask you gently today, is Jesus first? Not just in what you say, not in, you know, lip service, but is he first in your schedule and in your decisions? And is he first in your money? Is he first in order of relationships? Is he Lord of your private life or just your public one? Is he Lord in your home? Is he first? Because no turning back begins with settling priority. Jesus first. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, well, pretty clean cut here, cannot be my disciple. Now, today we use the cross as jewelry, as decoration, as art, you know, church logos, wall decor, and of course, all kinds of things. But when Jesus said this, nobody thought decoration. They thought execution. The cross was an instrument of death. I want you to see that. So when Jesus said, bear your cross, he was not saying, carry a small inconvenience. Sometimes people say, well, this is just my cross to bear. And they mean that, you know, some difficult personality in their life or some frustration that they have. But Jesus was talking about death to self. To bear the cross is to say, my old life no longer gets to be in charge. My flesh does not get the final vote. My pride does not get the throne. My comfort does not get to call the shots. My reputation is not my God. My plans are surrendered to Christ. So Paul said in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And that, friends, is the language of discipleship. It's not self-improvement. It is self-denial. I don't improve myself. I crucify myself. Not just become a better version of the old me, not living my best life, but living the Christ life. Becoming new in Christ. And that is where the war is. A lot of the battle is not out there, right? It's in here. The battle is against my own pride and my own lust. The battle is against selfishness. The battle against bitterness, the battle against fear and compromise and wanting Jesus and still wanting to stay in control. And every day, discipleship means taking up the cross, not just once, but daily. And if you are human, sometimes 30 times a day, sometimes 100 times a day. Jesus says in another place, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me daily. That means every day I have to decide, will I follow Jesus today? Will I obey him? Will I die to the flesh? Will I forgive today? Will I tell truth today? Will I say no to temptation? Will I choose prayer? Will I walk in love? Will I surrender my will? Will I surrender my option to be right? I'm going to let that one sink. See, no turning back is not just one emotional altar moment. No turning back is a daily decision, a daily cross, a daily yes. And then finally, Jesus gives a picture of a man building a tower. He says, who starts building without first sitting down to count the cost? Because if he lays the foundation and cannot finish, people will mock him and say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That is a serious picture. Jesus is saying, do not be casual about discipleship. Do not start without understanding that following me will require your whole life. Now, I want to be clear, counting the cost does not mean you are deciding whether Jesus is worth it or not. He is always worth it, always. Counting the cost means understanding that he is worthy of everything. So there's a difference there. The question is not, is Jesus asking too much of me? The question is, do I understand that he's worthy and worth all that he asks? Because this tragedy that Jesus describes is a person who starts but does not finish. They lay a foundation, but the tower never rises. They begin, but they don't continue. They have intention, but they don't endure. I think we have to talk about endurance for a minute, because a lot of people start, there's excitement, there's emotion. They start with good intentions. They start after a powerful service. They start after a crisis in their life. You know, the old, God, if you get me through this, I promise. I swear. They start inspired, but discipleship is not measured only by how you start. It is measured by whether you endure. Will you still follow Jesus when the emotions fade? Will you still obey when nobody else is applauding? Will you still pray when I don't feel anything? Will you still stand when it costs you? Will you still believe when the answer takes longer than you hoped? Will you still serve when you're tired? Will you still forgive when the flesh, it wants revenge? Will you worship when it feels hard? Like Paul and Silas down there chained in the prison. Will you still say yes when Jesus leads you somewhere you did not plan? So that's the question. Not just did you start, but will you finish? And I believe God is raising up a people who will finish. People who will not just have a moment, but a life. People who will not just be excited for a season, but faithful to the end. People who say, I have counted the cost and Jesus is worth everything. Then Jesus uses another picture, a king going to war. He says, what king goes to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether he can meet the one coming against him? Now, this is where our title comes from today. War costs. Well, war comes with a cost. And again, I'm not talking about fleshly fighting. put the phone down, put the, you know, fist down. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not fight against people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But there is a real spiritual battle. And if you're going to follow Jesus faithfully, you have to understand that war comes with a cost. There is a cost to resisting temptation. There is a cost to living holy in a world that mocks holiness. There is a cost to telling the truth in a culture that prefers lies. There is a cost to raising your children in the ways of God. You won't be the popular, fun parent. There's a cost to being misunderstood. There's a cost of saying, I cannot go there. I cannot do that. I cannot celebrate that. I cannot compromise here. I belong to Jesus. My life is not my own. But there is also a cost to not following Jesus. And that's what we need to remember. Sometimes we only talk about the cost of obedience, but listen, disobedience has a cost too. Compromise comes with cost. Sin is extremely costly. Spiritual laziness, being undisciplined, has a cost. Prayerlessness has a cost. Silence has a cost. It all costs you something. Spiritual laziness has a cost. Prayerlessness has a cost. Drifting has a cost. And if you follow Jesus, it will cost you. But if you do not follow Jesus, it will cost you far more. Jesus is honest about the cost because he wants us to live with eyes wide open. He doesn't want us to be surprised when pressure comes, or confused when obedience is difficult, or offended when discipleship requires sacrifice. He tells us up front, count the cost. So this is the part we have to hold together. The cost is real, but Jesus is worth it. Sometimes people talk about surrender like it's only loss, but surrender to Jesus is not losing everything that matters. It is giving up what cannot save you to receive the one who can. I preach this for years, but if it's left your life, then God has looked at it and said, you did not need it to fulfill your destiny. So if it's cost you something, something has had to leave your life, you've had to give something up, then God says, that thing, you didn't need it to fulfill your destiny. It's giving up that control to follow the king. It is giving up sin to receive freedom, giving up the old life so that you can walk in new life, your old little kingdom to seek first the kingdom of God. Remember the story, the rich young ruler walked away sad because he thought Jesus was asking too much of him. But the disciples had left everything. Peter said, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Jesus did not say that was a bad deal. He told them, no one who leaves things for his sake and the gospel's will fail to receive far more in the kingdom of God and the age to come, eternal life. So yes, there is a cost, but there is also a reward. There is joy and peace and purpose and freedom and eternal life. There is the presence of Jesus. There is the joy of hearing one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You may lose approval in this life, but you gain Christ. You may become uncomfortable, but you gain calling. You may lose the old life, but you gain real life. You may lose the crowd, but you gain the kingdom. Jesus is worth it always. Always. And this is why, listen, I tell you this every day. This is why Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel matter so much. Because people need more than motivation. They need a message like this. They need the word of God. They need the gospel. They need to know that Jesus is not calling them to a shallow, comfortable, casual version of faith, but he's calling them to follow him. And by God's grace, we want to keep surrounding that call. So that's why through every broadcast, every teaching, every platform, every home, every phone app, every screen, God opens to us. We want to help people wake up, count the cost, follow Jesus with no turning back. So as I do every day, I ask you that if this ministry strengthens you and if you believe in what God is doing through the Pioneer Channel, I want to invite you to become a Pioneer Media partner. You can go to ptnnow.com, donate, and begin partnering with us monthly. It makes a difference. Trust me, it does. Your partnership helps us carry the gospel-centered teaching further. It helps us reach people who need hope, calls believers to stand strong in this hour. See, I'm not just trying to fill screen time. I could find something else better, as could you, to do with our mornings. But we are believing God to change lives through his word. So where does this leave us? Jesus says, count the cost, not because he's trying to push you away, because he's calling people to make a real decision, a decision that goes deeper than emotion. A decision outlasts convenience. A decision that says, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is first, Jesus is worth everything. The cross before me, I love that hymn. The world behind me, no turning back. That's not just a song lyric. That is discipleship. No turning back when it's hard. No turning back when obedience calls. No turning back when the crowd walks away. No turning back when the flesh complains. No turning back when the world pressures you to compromise. Why? Jesus did not turn back from the cross. He went all the way for us. He carried the cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He died for our sins, and he rose again. And now he calls us, follow me. So the same question is simple. Have you counted the cost? Have you decided that Jesus is worth it? Let me pray for you today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus told us the truth. He did not hide the cost. He did not call us to casual faith. He called us to follow him. Lord, search our hearts today. Show us where comfort has become too important. Show us where approval has become too powerful. Show us where compromise has crept in. Show us where we have wanted Jesus as Savior but resisted him as Lord. Today we surrender. Jesus, you first. You are Lord. You are worth everything. Give us grace to carry the cross. Give us endurance to finish. Give us courage to lead. Help us live with no turning back. And for anyone who's watching today who has never surrendered to Jesus, today is the day. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. He is Lord, and he's calling you to follow him. If that's you, pray this in your heart, this simple prayer. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. Forgive me. Make me new. I surrender my life. Choose to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, thanks for joining me today on Good Morning Live. Remember this, a cost-free Christianity is not the Christianity that Jesus preached, but whatever it costs to follow Jesus, he is worth it. So count the cost, carry the cross, and follow him with no turning back. And again, if this teaching encouraged you, would you consider becoming a Pioneer Media partner? You can do that by going to pioneernow.com and helping us keep the message going forward through Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel. Remember, I love you. God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.